This week, was thinking about, we were tentatively up until Friday going to have a baptismal service today, and some of that needed to get moved to the 29th. And so if you're thinking of getting baptized, January 29th, there's a service here. It's a Sunday morning. You can get baptized. It's pretty fun if you've never been. And we want you to come to that. But I was asking God about, you know, as we get ready for the table, what would you have me share with people this morning? There's upheaval in our world. As I look at 2016, I'm thankful for so many things. And there's also things that I worry about. Been watching the news, politics, there seems to be more entrenched positions than ever before. And ideologies seem to drive us not to care for one another and to serving one another. Economies around the world seem to be thriving and diving. And if you ride the roller coaster and your hope is in oil prices or money, it's probably been a rough year for you and you probably aren't seeing anything better ahead. And it's easy watching what's happening in different places of the world with human rights abuses and fear to be discouraged. Some of you look back and you go, I'm going to do better, and you get the New Year's resolutions. And before you get to all of that, let me give you three different thoughts today, and think of them as pillars underneath which you build your platform for doing life and going ahead and making your resolutions. Think of it as pilings that go deep in the ground, foundational truths that you need to check on this, the first day of the year, because it just resets your perspective and where your hope lies. The first one's found in Romans 10. And it needs to, this is where we need to start. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you don't know the story, you don't know that God took action on your behalf, you need to start with understanding that. And if you're here and you understand it, you need to be reminded of it. Here's what it says in verses 8 to 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. And that's the gospel, the truth that God loved us and sent his son to die in our place. Sin was a problem. We couldn't deal with it. God took action, dealt with it on our behalf, and offers to us the ability to accept that. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love what this says. It says, God's salvation is available. The fact that you don't have to pay the penalty for your sin, you don't have to earn your way into it, you don't have to go to the right church, align yourself with the right group of people, have the right ethnicity, speak the right language. It says, for anyone and everyone, this is the truth. For all who believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he died on a cross as payment for my sin, that he was raised from the dead, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, it says you will be saved. And it says, for with the heart one believes and is justified. You stand before God just as if you'd never sinned. And it says he bestows riches on all who call on him. So today, if your inner lawyer or your hesitation or whatever it is says you haven't done enough or you're not the right person or it's not for you, it's for everybody else, he's lying. The Bible is clear that God loved you and he took action for you. And he provided a way for you to have a relationship with him. Foundational truth, underpinning, right? Because it changes something. When you believe and accept, you become a child of God. You become adopted sons and daughters. You become part of the family of God. He does something called regeneration. He gives you new life. He makes you new. And so this is an amazing truth that you don't have to somehow clean yourself up, get to that place, do it for yourself, that God has already done it for you. He did it for you while you were far from Him. This underpinning truth changes everything, because the Almighty God, the Creator of the world, who says eternally you can be with me, He loved you that much to do that. And your hope isn't in politics or economies or jobs or relationships. Or your hope ultimately is on solid ground when it's in Jesus. Second, in Romans 8, 31 to 39, I titled this in my notes, The Benefits of Being Part of the Family of God or Held in Christ or Belonging to Christ. When this is your reality, when you've accepted this, let me run through the benefits that you have. And people hate it when I talk like this. They're like, oh, benefits, that sounds like you're doing it to get something. No, no. When you're part of this family, this is the deal. This is what the Bible promises, okay? And don't miss this, because this is really cool. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it starts in verse 31 by saying, if the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, who did that is for us, who in the world can be against us? And it's true. It's like you're playing hockey with the Canadians. Didn't like it. I thought it was funny. They won the tournament. Okay. If God is for us, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, he goes, benefit number one, look at whose family you're in. Who in the world can be against you? In verse 32, he says, if God gave his own son in your place to pay for your sin, it says he's gracious to give us abundant life. And that word gracious is an interesting one, because it's undeserved favor of God. It's receiving what I couldn't earn or deserve. And then in verse 33, it says God has justified us, made us as if we were without sin, just as if I'd never sinned. Who in the world can accuse you or bring a charge against you? Every time they dig up something, even if it's true, the penalty's been paid, the record has been erased, you stand right before God. So when they say, look at what you did, you go, yep, did it. Look at what God did. I stand just as if I'd never sinned before the Almighty God. So it says, not only is God for you and no one can come against you, not only is he gracious to give you abundant life, he won't withhold anything, he gave you his son, not only has he justified you and no one can bring a charge against you, you now have the living Savior alive and with the Father interceding for you. Like, looking out for you. And it says there can be no condemnation. Ever have somebody bring condemnation? Happens to me. Ever look at your actions? Ever look at your life? Ever beat yourself up? And it says that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of sin, bringing us back to redeem us and to push us forward. There can be no condemnation. And then he says, nothing can separate us from his love. And he goes on to say, all kinds of earthly trouble, all kinds of spiritual opposition, all kinds of unforeseen things. It means the children of God are going to go through these issues, face these issues, sustained, carried, and cared for. Because God's got this. It says this in Isaiah 59:1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull. Not only do you have to remember this is what God did for us and salvation's available, here's what he promised us as his sons and daughters, his children. Don't miss this. This is so cool. So that's pillar number two. And pillar number three has to do with working that out. And it's found in Philippians 4:4-9. I'm going to spill all this stuff on the floor here. Here's the pattern for believers. So if this is you that we're talking about, if you're a child of God, you come to the communion table going, that was for me. I understood it. I believed in my heart. I confessed with my mouth. I'm part of the family. I'm an adopted son and daughter. And theoretically, I know he's promised me all this, but I'm having trouble living it out and accessing it. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Here's a pattern for all the believers to begin with: rejoicing. You know, we come in and we sing a praise song. We look at who God is. We see the blessings. We start with what God has done. Even if your situation is hard and you need to come right back to the truth that He chose me and He sent His Son to die for me, you start with rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. And then it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. In my Bobism, it's like, take the long view that God has this. God will set right injustice. God will raise up and tear down nations. God will provide when I can't see a way. Reasonableness says, if He has in the past, He will in the future. And no matter what I face or go through, earthly, spiritual, unknown, it says nothing can separate me from His love, and that He's a Father who loves me. It says, don't be anxious about anything. Anxiety is the response of the human condition. The unknown, the critical things of life, the physical things we go through, the spiritual things, they cause anxiety. Now, I ask this question lots. Ever been afraid of something that wasn't true? I have. Ever been a kid and thought there was something under the bed, somebody in the house? Right? Ever had that very real feeling, no basis for it? Ever been anxious because you've lost perspective? You haven't checked your foundation. Forgot just who your father was, who your family was, and where you could take it. Doesn't say anxiety is not going to come. Here's what you do with it. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything. Now, don't miss that word, everything. There isn't some small little detail that you just want to beat yourself up. I shouldn't be anxious about this, but I am. So if you are, here's how you deal with it. And everything by prayer and supplication. This is interesting. If you have not created a pattern of communication with God, if you have not set aside time for prayer, if you haven't developed a rhythm of knowing what's driving you and taking it to your Heavenly Father that can do something about it, by prayer and supplication, reflection, persistence, coming back, honest about your feelings, choosing your response, In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, express appreciation to your Heavenly Father for what He's done. Keep your posture right. But it says, let your requests be made known to God. And I just say, clarify and express your concerns and your feelings to God. And here's what it tells you will happen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think, I've done this, and I didn't get that feeling. I didn't get that. But hold on. Peace of God. If God is all-powerful, if He's done all this to save you, if He's made these promises, there's a peace in your perspective changing, knowing who it is that you're entrusting this stuff to. And it's the peace of the Almighty God who is said it was going to happen, who is making it happen, who's told you what's going to happen in the future. You can trust Him that nothing that you face will separate you or prevent Him from loving you and caring for you and giving you what you need in the circumstance. It says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Confession time for me. My heart wants to self-medicate, yes? When I'm offended, when I'm hurt, when I'm injured, I want to lash out. I want to retreat. I want to put up a wall. When I'm, just fill in the blank, when I'm unsatisfied, you start to harbor things in your heart that you think would satisfy you. What does it look like for your heart to be guarded? It means it's protected from those things which will bring consequence. And your mind, man, you start thinking about something enough. You worry it, you chew it over. Your inner lawyer will tell you it'll blow it into a massive deal, right? Ever assumed that someone was mad at you because of how they responded to you? Ever gone home and wondered what it was that they're offended by? Ever blown it into a big deal? I have. Ever find out you were completely ridiculous? It says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then we skip this last part. So let me just give you this as a Bob freebie, okay? Lots of pastors stop right there. And that's okay. This part's true. Don't miss the last part. It says, finally, brothers. And it's a continuation. It's not like, okay, here's something else. Here's another good idea. It all runs together. That if you rejoice, if you take your stuff to the Lord with thanksgiving, if you finally then, once you do that, don't go away and worry that issue in your mind. It says, put something else there. What does it say? Whatever is, and I mean whatever, it doesn't have to be that you get your Bible out and just focus on it. Whatever's true, right? Whatever is just, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Put something different in the brain pan. Choose to turn your attention to that thing that builds up, that's pure, that's true, that's honorable. That's how many of you choose to turn on a 30-minute show on TV or an hour-long show, or go on your iPad, or go on the news, or go to social media, or go somewhere where this isn't the thing going, I don't know why I'm not getting peace. I don't know why this issue still has control in my life. It's because you do the first part, but you don't replace it with something. And then it says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Speaks to me of intentionality, self-discipline, and actually doing what it is you've heard and seen and witnessed by example. And the promises again, and the God of peace, shalom, inner wholeness, completeness, wellness, and at rest will be with you. Oh, my friends, in 2017, may the Almighty God, as you check your undergirding pillars and as you make your plans on top of them, would He give you insight into these things? Would He remind you of them? And would it completely change your perspective in your relationship with the living God and your relationship with your world? Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for your word. It is truth. Thank you for what you're showing and teaching me. And thank you that we, on the first day of this new year, can look at three foundational truths, consider them, and Father, ponder them, especially as we come to the communion table. As we gather around this table and we sing songs of praise and worship and we reflect on what we've heard and we, Father, just are nourished in this moment, meet with us, I pray. And I thank you for the freedom and the place that you've provided for us to come and meet together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. In their heart, confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. It says you will be saved. You become part of a family. You may have forgotten the benefits coming to you in that family. We reminded you of that today. But this is for you. And even if your practice of walking with Jesus has been a little off, he instituted this great time where we come and remember that God loved us and he provided something for us and you're the beneficiary of it. And you don't have to be part of our church. You can be visiting. You can be whatever. If that's your reality, we invite you to partake with us, not because you've earned it or deserved it in the first place, and not because you've cleaned yourself up to be ready for it today. But if you just come and say, God, this was for me. I am yours. And you prepare your heart and you say, my desire from today forward is to continue to walk with you. We want you to participate with us in having communion. He was with his disciples and he instituted this and he said, took some bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. I'm going to go in your place. The punishment that your sin deserved, I'm going to take on myself. He says, take, eat, and remember. And so we're going to do that together. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, that we have this very special moment that we can stop and remember that you, the Almighty God, loved us. You sent your Son. You graciously, you wouldn't even spare, keep that from us. And you wanted us to become sons and daughters to stand just as if we'd never sinned before you. And this is what you did. And this is what it cost. Lord, remind us of your love, remind us of the cost, and remind us and renew in us the commitment to walk with you today as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.